sorry. Boys and ghouls, welcome to episode 143 of Dads from the Crypt. My name is Jason. Tonight I'm joined by Jody.
Hello.
Mondo unfortunately is on the weather, but we have two amazing guests. We are joined by Ariel and Rachel from the Zombie Girls.
Hello. That's
right. We're back to talk finger blasting round two.
Right out the gate.
Coming in hot today.
You know. You keep inviting me back. At some point, shame on you.
You know, fool me once, shame on me. Finger blast me twice. If you come back for more.
Mm-hmm.
How are we tonight?
Good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm excited to be here. I've missed you guys. This is going to be fun. It's true.
Shucks. All right. Right off the bat, first of all, unfortunately, Mondo's not here, but I'm surprised he's not doing everything in his power to be one step away from Jennifer Tilly. Because you get to talk to her on the one of your
Mm-hmm. My close personal friend for 5 minutes every year. Yes, Jennifer Tilly.
It's better than the rest of us, okay? You're getting closer than anybody else.
You may touch the hem of my skirt. I have spoken to Jennifer Tilly over Zoom twice.
Like, sell pieces of the dress you were wearing. It's just so warm when talking to Jennifer Tilly.
Yeah. Yeah, like, if we were ever in have you seen that movie? What is it? Oh, it's the Cronenberg Sun movie where they like make steaks out of celebrities. If we were ever like in that universe, I suspect Jennifer Tilly would be like a hot deli item. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Antiviral, right?
Antiviral.
Yeah.
All right. That's it.
But really, then we'd be protecting her.
What do you mean?
We'd all be protecting Jennifer Tilly because she's a national treasure.
She is a national treasure. I could not agree more. That's why, I mean, I can't really turn my camera, but as you can see, I'm repping. Yeah. JT.
Love it. And then speaking of other interviews, supposedly you had a encounter with Ben Mendelsohn.
Oh my God. This is embarrassing. I should have said no when you asked this earlier because it's not that great of a story. No. So I interviewed him for the new look. I mean, really, I just interviewed him because I'm a Star Wars nerd and he was Trinnic. So of course I wanted to talk to him. And we just had like a little pre-interview flirt. That was very flattering for an old lady like me. I was like, yeah, I still got it. And so I didn't publish it, but I held on to it whenever I'm having a bad day. Aww. I might revisit it a little bit.
You're adorable.
No, I'm not. I'm sad. Listen, you hit 40 and you gotta take what you can get, okay? You're just like, crumbs, delicious.
Now, I was thinking about it, I know that they were both in Rogue One, but like, how have we not had like a Ben Mendelsohn and Mads Mikkelsen like team up movie?
Have you been reading my dream journal? You're describing my ideal sex shape.
European accented men like that wear suits really well. Mm-hmm. Hitman or something. I don't know. You can go. Mm-hmm. Someone can go write that movie because it'll sell itself.
Yeah, I'd watch it.
All right. Anything going on over at the Zombie Girls we should know about?
Sure. Well, we actually just put out an episode today with a friend of the pod, Joe Ferry, fellow co-host Jody of I'm blanking. No Film Left Behind. Thank you. Which, by the way, I really enjoyed your Nunsploitation episode.
It's one of my favorite things I've recorded. I love it.
So we invited him on More Deadly, and I knew I could count on them for this. I was like, pick a weirdy. We want a weirdo. And he delivered.
Oh, yeah. It's strange.
Yeah, we reviewed Wolf Devil Woman by Pearl Chang.
Yep.
Mm.
Oh, you're familiar?
I am familiar, yeah. Because I'm friends with Joe.
Of course.
That makes sense. Yeah, it was, it's something. I really actually enjoyed myself in the end, but it's a confusing, confounding movie that also is like weirdly joyful. Yeah. It's just very odd.
Yeah. Much like Joe.
Mm-hmm. Much like Joe. And we have a couple of other really exciting episodes coming up. I don't know if we want to tease them or not, Ariel. What do you think? Did we talk about them yet?
I don't know. Sure.
Well, then tease them. That's called a setup.
Yeah, we just have some guests coming on that we're pretty excited about. So our next couple of episodes, we have from Dread Central, Mary Beth is coming on our show. What? We're very excited about that. And probably the episode that Rachel and I were quaking in our boots the most before recording it. The Addams Family, the two directors, ooh, the parents of that little group, came on to review The Babadook with us.
So, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was quite an adventure. As you can imagine, I was very cool. I did not fangirl out. I played very, very cool. Did not make an absolute fool of myself.
If I remember right, wasn't their new one like your favorite movie of the year last year?
Yep.
And I thought so.
Yep. And then I think a couple years before, their movie was our favorite of that year as well.
Yeah.
So we're like
obsessed a little bit.
Yeah, very much so.
I was wondering, did you have Rose Glass on the show yet?
Not yet.
No.
But she's one of our white whales.
Yeah.
She's up there. Yeah.
I finally got around to watching Love Lies Bleeding the other day.
Oh, speaking of finger blasting, what'd you think?
Great. I'm a big St. Maud fan, so.
Oh, such a good movie.
Man, I love St. Maud. I haven't watched
it
yet,
but it is on my list.
So good.
Get into it. Yeah, she's definitely one of our white whales, along with, like, Julia de Cornau. Mm-hmm. Coralie Forgeau's film just got announced that it's going to be at Cannes, so that's, like, one that I'm going to be, like, stalking the minute I can get my, you know, greedy little hands on an email to send to try to get her on the show. And Rose Glass, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Fingers crossed.
Well, tonight we're going to be watching some Creepshow, talking some Creepshow. Have you, either of you, watched much of the series before?
Yeah. I mean, I've watched, like, I know I watched the first two seasons, and then I think I watched most of season three. But I honestly, until you recommended we watch this, I did not realize there had been a season four. So I have not seen that one yet.
Yeah, that's one of the big knocks that they just haven't done a good job promoting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you, Rachel?
I've seen this animated special before, and I definitely saw all of the first season and at least part of the second season. With the episode that you were talking about before the show, about the news, like the
public access thing.
I've seen that episode. So I've seen at least to that point. I really liked it. I think you're right. I think it kind of, they did not do a good job of keeping it on their radar. Like, Shudder is great because they like actually have a lot of original content and it comes out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sometimes things get lost in the shuffle and you kind of forget about stuff. Yeah. And then,
but I think y'all are at the same place that the three of us are, because we've all watched the beginning of it. Like, we've watched the first season or so, somewhere in the middle of the second season, maybe all a second, but that's it. So it's all new after that for us too. So
yeah, I think they're just trying to rely too much on word of mouth.
Yeah,
and not only gets you so far per se.
That's dumb.
Spend a little money to jumpstart stuff.
You know, they had like a kind of shake up at the top. Maybe that was around the same
Shudder
time.
Yeah, go through some stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. All right, but tonight we're talking one of two specials they did. They were going to do a whole season, but because of COVID, they decided just to do these two specials to kind of hold everything over until they could get, you know, full strength. So this came out on October 26, 2020. It's the Creepshow animated special. Jody, give us a plot synopsis.
All right. So our first story is a pretty famous Stephen King story. It's one of those that's like people talk about as Stephen King at his gruesomest or most gruesome. I don't know the words. But
gruesome I think is
But I think it's pretty much considered like an unfilmable one, so it's perfect for animation. We have a man named Richard Pinzetti, who is a surgeon, and he's like tied into the underworld. He ends up going on a cruise trip to drop some heroin off, and
as you do,
as you do, you know,
pretty normal vacation.
And the ship explodes and it sinks, and he's stuck on a desert island with no supplies. There's nothing there except for him, and he's got a broken ankle, and there is a woman whose dead body is there, and there's some birds. But it's not a great island to be stuck on. There's not a lot going on there.
Yeah.
He nicknames the corpse Gloria because, you know, if you're going to be hanging out with a corpse, you at least need to name it. And he is starving because there is nothing there. So all that he has to eat after twisting his ankle are these seagulls that are all over the place. He takes rocks, throws them at seagulls, eats seagulls. But as the days pass, he can't find any more rocks and can't get the seagulls. His strength is leaving him. He has kind of a vision of the woman, Gloria, saying like, I'm right here. You can eat me. But by the time he gets to it, she's already been washed away by a storm, forcing him to resort to desperate measures, which is eating himself. He begins to routinely amputate parts of his own body, starting with his legs, till the point his legs are completely gone. But because he's a surgeon, he keeps saying, like, no matter what, I have to protect these hands. Like when he was a teenager, he played sports. But he got to protect those hands because they're surgeon's hands. But in the end, the hunger and the delirium get to him, and he eats his hands, remarking that they taste like lady fingers. That's it.
And they lived happily ever after.
All right, Ariel, why don't you start us off?
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I didn't know what to expect going into this at all. The animation style I thought was really interesting because it did feel like stepping into like an EC comic, kind of, the way it was styled. I was not expecting, however, for animation to be so like viscerally disturbing and gross. Like when he has to cut off that first gnarly infected foot, I was cringing. Like it was really gross. And I was surprised to be like so affected by animation, you know, because I feel like there's usually like a little bit more distance than when it's like live action. But as he's like cutting off like more and more body parts, I found myself almost like getting queasy, which doesn't happen to me even with live action stuff. So I was really surprised by how much it affected me. I also thought Keith Sutherland was like really good in it, like surprisingly good. I didn't expect him to be the voice. And then I was like, oh, he's actually really great. Cause I feel like this character has so much like desperation and this like growing madness. And if you didn't have a good actor doing that, I don't feel like you would have bought into it, but I totally did because he was so great. But yeah, I mean, at the end when he's like munching on his own fingers, that kind of like cannibalizing yourself is such a disturbing concept. And he's gone so mad by the end that I, yeah, was kind of grossed out in a great way. I really enjoyed it.
Cool. Rachel.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love me some Stephen King. It is known. I mean, look at my background. Obviously, I like Stephen King. And I think this is kind of a perfect example of why he can write these like massive epics. I love the Dark Tower series. There's like complex world building. There's dense layers of theme, multiverses, everything. But then he can also at the same time just like absolutely punch you in the gut. And this is a perfect example of that with this just totally grotesque idea that, you know, he just sort of like came up with and had to get onto the page. But what I love is as sort of base and disgusting as this idea is, there, he also sort of infuses everything he does with almost this strange, like, sense of romance, like in the way that he writes the characters. You know what I mean? There's so much to this character, despite this being a very simple story of a guy on eating himself alive on an island. And I think it's because there's so much of King himself in it. Like, you really can see his like demons and his struggles in this. This was came out in like the 80s, like peak cocaine era. Peak cocaine era Stephen King. So you can really see that in here. And I love the way he like uses those inner demons to tell these stories. I mean, like when we think about like a survivor, because it's like a survivor story, and that's the thing he kind of like keeps coming back to, and it's the name of the, you know, survivor type is the name of it. And that's something we sort of ascribe like positive you know, aspirational sort of thoughts around being a survivor. But here he kind of takes that and perverts it and makes it like grotesque. And that's like where it gets wickedly fun. So yeah, I really enjoyed this. And finally, like, I agree with you, Ariel. The casting of Keith Sutherland is so perfect for this because he has this sort of like raspy everyman voice and this natural charm and charisma. And that warmth is what makes you care about this character, because this character sucks. Like, yeah. There's, he really has no redeeming care. Like, he wants to be a surgeon. We never hear about him like wanting to heal people, but we do hear about him paying other people to beat up guys that like hit him with a towel in the locker room. Mm-hmm. Like, he sucks, but you do care about him, and there is some degree of stakes beyond just the like grotesque idea of it, because it's Kiefer Sutherland delivering these lines. So I don't know, like, you needed a good voice actor for this role. And I think he was perfect.
Yeah.
Jody.
Yeah, no, I really enjoy this story. Let me say one thing before we get into either of these two stories, as far as my thoughts about them. I hate the animation style. Like, it bothers me. Totally fine. Like, I get what they're going for with the like comic bookiness of it, but to me it feels really cheap. Like, I mean, it definitely is a cost cutting measure for sure. Like, the way that they do it with like it's all computer generated. It's just not my favorite. But I can look past that to the story.
Not about that motion comic also, life.
It's not only cost, but it's also, you know, during COVID, you know, it's
right. Yeah. But like, okay, so we'll get to this in a minute. There's in the second story, there's a lion brought out in a cage. And I noticed his head kept popping in and out through the bars of the cage as he was rolling out. He had some animation issues here. But that's just, I'm an animation nerd too.
Yeah, so you're graphic design by profession.
I'm going to nitpick the animation before I get into anything
else. No, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, I like the style of it, but there were times when somebody would like move their head, but like the cross hatching wouldn't move with them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'll complain about that. But story wise, love this story. It's a great story. I'm a huge Stephen King fan as well. I probably read this one years ago because I definitely read Skeleton Crew. And so, yeah, no, I've definitely read the story. And I've always said the number one thing that Stephen King does more than anything else, it's not his plots. It's his characters. He writes great characters, puts them in whatever situation, and then we watch it play out. I mean, that's basically mm-hmm. what happens. He writes this great character, puts him on an island, has him break his foot, and then kind of is like, and now let's see what happens. See what this dude's willing to do. Like, I just feel like he discovers the story along with you sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's a nasty story. You know, it's violent. The whole self-cannibalizing thing, like, is very disturbing. It's softened a little bit for me because I had to look this up. There is a parody of this already out there. It's from the Treehouse of Horror number 28, where Homer develops a taste for himself. Like, he cuts his finger and he starts sucking on his finger and is like, ooh, this tastes good. So he starts cooking himself on purpose because he's tasty. And so it's a, you know, for a Treehouse of Horror, it's pretty gruesome. Softened or not, I think the story can stand on its own, and it's a really gruesome story. It's got good acting. Again, I don't like the animation, but everything else is fine for me. I like it.
Yeah, I like the animation. I definitely emulated the DC style that, you know, Creepshow has always been, you know, kind of cribbing from. It reminded me a lot. I'm a big Watchmen fan. It reminded me that they did like an animated version. Like in a motion comic kind of version of the Watchmen comic. Mm-hmm. I remember watching that and liking it. So it gave me a lot of that vibe. Yeah, Keith Sutherland is great. Just this kind of like escalating madness. You know, cause like, you know, we watched Kiefer in a lot of his roles, like, especially like I'm thinking like 24, you know, he starts off, you know, kind of calm. And then like, he's like bashing a terrorist head in. You know?
That's so true. Yeah, like,
he can just kind of turn it up whenever he wants. So this is like kind of perfect for him.
That's just his brand.
Yeah. And again, yeah, I was really like cringing. I was like eating this. I was watching this while eating lunch. I just like had to stop for a few minutes.
What were you eating?
One thing I can say for the animation.
Nuria tacos, of course.
Ooh.
That is one positive I can say for the animation. I didn't like the overall animation, but when the gore started, it's nasty in this style. Like, yeah. the look of the foot after he twists his ankle before he even starts cutting, it's nasty.
Like, for as much as they push the envelope on this show, especially with Greg Nicotero there, they cannot do that in real life. Like, which is not. So we get to see kind of like a step further, kind of like in the first Saw movie, how they cut away during the actual sawing of the foot. This is like, if they did an animated version of Saw, they could actually show, you know, the saw going to bone and stuff. Like, they get to go there. And I thought that was actually really cool, really effective. And like, I know a lot of people talk about cannibalism being like one of the ultimate taboos, but like cannibalism of oneself is like a whole extra level of that. So people are freaked out by cannibalism anyways, but doing it to yourself, because like he even eats his nose.
At some
point, like, they don't show, but they just kind of like at one point is like, oh, got no nose. And again, talking about the whole survivor aspect, it's like, at what point, he's got a whole bunch of heroin there. Like, at what point would any of us just like, fuck it, I'm just going to just do it until I'm gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could eat a whole bunch of heroin and just be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? That's a good point.
But he's a real survivor there. So I didn't love how it just kind of ended. Like, we just assume that he's just dead at that point.
You can't write anymore. How do you write when you've eaten all your lady fingers?
That's true.
On one hand, or is he like about to eat the other one? I don't know.
I think he's not. It just ended
really abruptly, and I was like, wait, that's it? I could use like one more beat.
I like what you were saying earlier, though, about like the survivor being usually held up as a positive.
Yeah.
He's a survivor like a cockroach is a survivor. Like, you can't kill him because he's too bad to die. Like, it's kind of like he survives because of his awfulness.
Well, it's not like he has like a family or kids or anything to go home to, anything positive. He's just doing a pure self-preservation.
Yeah, his moral code. I mean, he has no morality beyond being a survivor. Like, all things are acceptable. As long as they allow him to land on his feet. It's like the ultimate selfishness.
Yeah. Well, that's who he's been the whole time too. He's been surviving by doing all this shady stuff. You know, selling prescriptions and stuff like that, getting busted, carrying drugs.
Yeah, it seemed like that was the reason he became a surgeon to begin with, was just to sell drugs on the side.
I mean, he started doing it like right away. So,
yeah.
But I mean, that's one of the things I liked about it too, because I feel like so many of those EC comics, what happens is like somebody is reprehensible, like they're a really bad person. And then we get to watch the comeuppance happen, right? Through some kind of, you know, supernatural or whatever happens to them. And here, even though I know it didn't come from an EC comic, it was obviously like a Stephen King thing, it still feels like very in keeping with that spirit.
Right. Which again, then that's why it works so well. Because if it was some guy we haven't didn't know much about or wasn't as well written, we'd be like, oh, okay, just some guy on the island just stealing himself. But no, because we got all this background and we're like, we kind of want to just die. He's like making us suffer more than he's suffering himself. Like, journey with him. I'm like, no, dude, just take some heroin and just, you know, drift off. You're okay.
Yeah. I mean, even watching him eat those seagulls was nasty.
It did remind me, which one was it? The Shallows of 47 Meters
Down? It's The Shallows, because I just watched it this week with my daughter.
Yeah, it was Steven Seagal.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that, I was like, I didn't care about the shark. I was just like very, very, very worried about the seagull through the whole movie. When she pushes him out on the thing, I was like, she deserves to die. Eat her. Her, Sharky.
My daughter was fully convinced that that was a sacrificial seagull, but he makes it.
Yeah. Oh,
that's a spoiler for The Shallows, I guess. The seagull doesn't die. I kept being afraid that she was going to eat it, and the thought of her eating a raw seagull is horrifying. So when it actually happened, like multiple times in this show tonight, it's nasty.
Yeah.
Seagull tartare.
This is a very solid, visceral experience. So good on them for that.
Yeah.
All right. Jody, next one.
All right. This one is Twittering from the Circus of the Dead. And we meet Blake, voiced by Joey King, who is this social media obsessed teenager who is stuck on a road trip with her family. And so the entire thing, I think she's got a narration going, but it's her tweeting the entire time, right?
Yeah.
good gosh, that kind of use of Twitter is upsetting to me already. Like, I'm already but on the car ride, she's constantly tweeting everything. She talks about her brother and tells some stories about their time on the road, how he knitted himself some things that it would be weird to knit in front of your mom. It's at a cock sleeve out of, I guess, wool? I don't know. Anyway,
no.
Just little family stories.
At least as you do.
And so eventually they stop at a circus in the middle of nowhere called the Circus of the Dead. And, you know, there's some weird things, like there's a dude in a like full hazmat suit, except for there's a hole for a cigarette or for a cigar to stick out. He's taking tickets. And I'm pretty sure one of the people like at the entrance to it is also animated Greg Nicotero. It absolutely looks like him.
Yeah. Yeah. So the guy taking tickets is Greg Nicotero. And even in the earlier episode, the one before that, one of the friends of the main character is Stephen King. Like,
okay.
Or is made to look just like Stephen King.
Yeah. I definitely recognized him. But anyway, they go in and they find out it's a circus that's supposed to be like zombies and stuff. And they assume it's all an act because why wouldn't you? They do all this gross stuff. Like there's a lion that comes out and attacks somebody. And then it looks like they kill the lion and pull all of its guts out. And then, you know, the whole time, though, there's like, this is just an amazing show. This is amazing, you know, Grand Guignol type stuff. But then the brother disappears for a little while, and then he gets wheeled out onto the stage on a big, like a spinning wheel, like strapped to it so they could throw axes at him. And he gets hit by it. And then they take him away. And so everyone's like, oh, well, that's a pretty neat trick to make it look like he's been hurt out here. But then he comes back as a zombie. And then we start realizing things are kind of falling apart. The ringmistress comes out and says this is going to be her final show because she hurt her ankle. And she's a prisoner. And she says, I'm going to be eaten by these zombies. And ultimately, they start getting loose and invading the stands. And at this point, the family starts to realize this isn't fake. There's some real stuff going on here. The audience is mostly full of dead people, except for us and a handful of other people spread throughout. And so they start attacking the people in the stands, including Blake and her mother, whose dad becomes a zombie and then kills the mother. And then as Blake is getting dragged away, the ticket taker picks up her phone and uses her Twitter account to put out an ad for the Circus of the Dead. Basically like, hey, we've got a new ring mistress. Her name is Blake the Blackhearted. And we're going to be touring around the country. So come and check us out. Yeah. And that's the end.
I feel confident that my Twitter or Instagram algorithm would definitely feed me that ad.
I was thinking how I'm almost surprised that Elon Musk hasn't gone back and made them retroactively change this to X.
Yeah. Well, in the current version of this.
What was that?
Nothing.
I missed it.
Nothing at all.
Find out in the recording, I guess. That's the only way. Go back. Now, I think the current version of this is, you know, she writes her first three tweets and then spends the rest of the time arguing with some misogynist because that's what happens when a woman tweets.
Right. They're like, how right, dare you say you'd rather run into a bear? Because a bear won't tweet back at me, you dick.
All right, Rachel, what did you think of this segment?
Yeah, again, I think that this is what one was really well cast, and I think that was really important because this had the combination of being a motion comic, not an animated series, which I do think has a higher bar, even though I do like it and I appreciate what they, you know, the connection to the EC comics and all of that. But then you add that to a character that's meant to be like very stereotypical, disaffected, social media obsessed teen. Like, these are not charming characteristics. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it could be challenging to make you invest in that character in any way that like made this have stakes. But I actually think Joey King, like Kiefer Sutherland, has an innate charm and charisma that kind of shines through, which is good because this could be very, very annoying otherwise. Just like conceptually, I think the idea about like, you know, of clowns or circuses or fun houses being traps is always something really creepy. Cause I feel like when you go to one of those things, there is this little voice in the back of your head that says, you know, what if this was real? Like, would people actually think it was part of the act if some sort of, you know, violent act occurred, those kinds of things. So that's an idea I always like exploring, and whether it be in horror movies or in the case of this. And that could also just be me watching way too many documentaries about extreme haunts. I don't know if you guys have watched those, but they are
extreme haunt documentary.
Like anyone that comes out, immediately put it in my veins. I'm obsessed with them. The something manor mansion.
Reckless Ben.
I got really good videos. McCamey Manor.
That's the one I'm thinking of. Oh my god, that I mean, like, that guy is just like has a weird kink. Period. Point blank. Yeah. So I mean, I like that aspect of it. I also like any sort of like conspiracy about missing people. I don't know if you guys ever watched that Missing 411. Like, it's probably people just like falling down a hill and like breaking their ankle and getting eaten by coyotes. But like, I probably prefer to live in a world where they're being hunted by billionaires and then put on the fields of Bohemian Grove and hunted for sport. Like, that's way more interesting. So to some degree, I like that. But yeah, I don't know. I like any story that's gonna like conjure up ideas of the places, like that there are still places left in America where like evil, aside from sort of just the mundane, boring evil, can still like kind of lurk and fester and I don't know. I like that kind of thing. So this worked for me.
All right, Jody.
Yeah, I'm with you on the circus thing. I love the circus idea. My favorite setting for any kind of horror movie is some kind of amusement park or something like that. Like, I love when we end up at a carnival at the end of a movie. You know, like Child's Play 3 has like the wrong Andy and it's not my favorite, but it ends with this awesome circus scene, like carnival stuff. Love it. Like, it's right my favorite stuff. I also love the extreme haunt stuff. I don't want to go to a haunted house. I want to watch movies about haunted houses.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I have no desire to go to any of these things. I want to watch movies about them. So I love all that. The tweeting thing, this is just me being an old man here. No, it was really annoying. Like, the whole Twitter thing was very exhausting the whole time. She did a good job, and I think Joey King is probably about as good as you're going to get for this. Mm-hmm. But man, that character was exhausting me the entire time. Mm-hmm. Because they're supposed to be an exhausting, annoying teenager, and they did it. They did it. That's the downside to making an annoying character and doing a really good job of it, is that they're annoying. So that part kind of got to me. I didn't enjoy that part as much, but the whole circus thing, loved every bit of that. So, you know, the idea of a zombie circus, so zombie animals and the zombies attacking people, like all of that, love every bit of that. Just maybe in a story without the twittering stuff. Maybe it's just the social media thing. I think I'd be okay even with the obnoxious teenagers. It's social media stuff that I'm old about.
The framing narrative that just is like kind of painful.
Yeah.
All right, Ariel.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Jody here. I definitely felt a little like old man yells at clouds, which Rachel accuses me of frequently because I can be a grump. But
she's the mean judge. Yeah.
But to me, it's like, because she's reading these tweets, the personality is so put on that I found it to be really grating after about 5 minutes. Like, I was ready to be done with it. And I do think you're right. Joey King is probably did a fine job at this. She obviously like accomplished, you know, the the goal, but it didn't make it fun for me to watch. And honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, I kind of feel like an asshole because I really enjoy the last performance and that character is like such a terrible person. Mm-hmm. Like, why did I enjoy this more than just like this innocent, normal teenage because girl?
The patriarchy. Right. Internalized misogyny.
That's what it is.
To be fair, if in the first story he was like posting on a forum everything that he said, I'd be real tired of that too.
So what you're saying is, if you were in the woods and you saw a criminal
a bear
man
of Joey King with a phone.
Tweeting, to a deformed, like, half-eaten man. That's who you go to.
I mean, okay. I could probably run away from him.
Yeah, you know, after. He's pretty slow by the end there.
But aside from that, I did really enjoy all the circus stuff. I think the idea of like a creepy, weird roadside circus especially was really fascinating. Mm-hmm. Just because there are so many bizarre things you can find on road trips. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And like some of them are
part of them.
Right. Yeah. And some of them are like so strange or half broken down and falling apart. And so it does make you think like, should I be here? Like, is this okay? Yeah. And, you know, I think I always thought I would want to do like those really creepy haunted house type situations. It just seemed like I would want to like test myself that way. Like, could I really do it? But then one time, this is kind of embarrassing, but one time I took my niece trick or treating. She was like 8 years old or something. And in her neighborhood, people would set up these like really elaborate haunted houses and she wanted to go. And I took her to one of them and everything was totally fine until these two ginormous guys who were dressed up like Jason and Michael Myers just started stalking us really slowly without saying anything. And like every time I turn around, they were like right here. And I was like, oh, I don't like this. This isn't good. And after that, I was like, maybe I don't want to be somewhere really creepy. But I did love this whole situation. And honestly, like, I'm a big zombie fan. The gore was really fun. I know, like you said, maybe there are some problems with the lion. But like, overall, I thought it was really great. There's the part right at the very ending, too, where her cell phone drops and you see her getting pulled away by a zombie, like just in the screen, like a reflection on the screen. I thought that was really cool, especially if they were able to achieve that with the animation. So I don't know. I mean, the idea that you'd go this whole time thinking that it was fake when all of this stuff is happening, like, strains credulity a little bit, but it was fun. I don't know. I think I ended up liking the other one better, but I appreciated what this one did. So
I think I just realized part of what this reminded me of, you know how in so many found footage movies, you're like, why are they still filming?
Yes.
Why is she still tweeting?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going live or whatever.
Like if she'd been videoing the whole time and just kept the camera pointed up, that would make sense. But like to continually be typing like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't love the tweeting narrative device. If she would like given it up at some point. Okay. But yeah, the first like, cause you know, I have no clue where this was going. So I'm like, is this going to be the whole thing? I was starting to get a little mad at it. It's kind of like our friend Casey talks about when he watched like Unfriended and he realized or whatever it was, that's going to be in the browser the whole time. He's like, I spent all day in the browser. So I'm glad it went where it went. It's funny because I had a problem. I didn't love the ending of the last episode, the last segment, and I didn't love the beginning of this one. I love the ending of this one. I love the beginning of the other one. So it's kind of flipped. Yeah, Joey King is great. And actually, I didn't realize how many horror roles she's had. I remember the first time I really noticed her was when she did The Act, which was like the true crime of Gypsy Rose.
Yeah.
She did that Wish Upon. What else
did she
do?
She did the Slender Man movie. She was in The Conjuring and Quarantine.
Oh, she was in
Joey
The Conjuring.
Joey King was in The Conjuring?
She's
I forgot
like
that.
A little
she's really tiny.
You don't know them as much like that. But yeah, I'm like, so okay. So she's definitely got the horror bona fides. Yeah, it's very gruesome. I kind of wish, and I'm sure for budgetary reasons, they probably couldn't have done this in like live action. But how much cooler would this have been? With like Greg Nicotero live action.
Oh my god. Yeah. His zombies, forget about it. That would have been
Joe
awesome.
Had one with zombies ripping people apart, but for a lot of it, they're like in the shadows. So they obviously don't have the budget to do like a big scene like that or a lion or something. There's no way they'd have the budget to do that. They just had like quick shots to kind of hide the low budget in that episode. So they probably wouldn't be able to do something on this scale. So. Okay, it's the crutch they had to use, fine, to get the story out. But yeah, that would have been fucking cool to see like a whole circus of zombies. And like in LA, especially around Halloween, you get these like ads for these kind of like experiences all the time. With this, so this definitely felt like something that you would see, you know, a legit like, you know, actor one. I love Funhouse. Like The Funhouse is a great movie. Haunt, it made me think of Haunt a bit.
Oh yeah, Haunt's great. Good.
Yeah.
It's a really good movie.
It reminded me kind of Hellfest. Hellfest is a fun movie.
So Yeah, I do think I like the other one better overall. The ending in this one I like better, but like it just took a bit. Like if they would have just started when they're just getting off the highway and not had to go through like a whole states and like multiple states to get to that point.
I did like the goofy brother stuff, like having him wear a skirt into the diner. I don't know. Yeah. I felt like you needed to get to know the family a little bit before we...
A little bit, but yeah.
Oh, I just remembered one other thing, too, about the family. I liked at the end, you know, because she's a teenager and spends the entire time complaining about her mom and how terrible her mom is up until things start really going bad at the end. And then she's like, I want my mom. I love my mom. I don't mean any of this stuff I've said. I'm like, that's like a really like real moment in this. Yeah. And I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we're definitely like a phase of my almost 10-year-old where like she just ignores you most of the day until you like, you know, offer some ice cream. Then you're like, oh, you're the best.
Oh, dear.
You turn on the dime.
The one thing is this doesn't actually adhere to the EC Comics formula of bad people getting punished.
No, not at all.
These are just like wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes
that happens sometimes too.
Yeah, sometimes that's within the formula of just, you know, random people walking into random shit. Well, let's see. Yeah, again, Joey King does good. This is based on the Joe Hill story. So we got, you know, all the family on this one. Mm-hmm. Got some, there's a couple of cool visual gags where, like, he's reading a Creepshow comic book at one point. In the background, you see, like, a poster that's, like, from the movie Creepshow. So, again, they're definitely trying really hard with the animation stuff. And, you know, for a little experiment, I would have minded this kind of style, like, you know, once or twice a season going forward. I don't know if they ever return to it or not. But it was a good time. It was a good time.
Yeah. No, and I've made my complaints about the animation for one episode. I'm fine with it. I can tolerate, you know, the animation I don't like as much. If it was a series that was all this, I think I'd check out after a couple episodes.
Yeah.
But, like, every now and then, I'm whatever. Yeah, I'm fine. It's better than the time Tales from the Crypt did animation. Third Pig was awful. So I'll take this.
I go back and forth on that one, but I can definitely,
the animation was awful in the Third Pig. I'll say that much. The thing itself, not
I mean, whatever. Yeah. Talking to the guy who did it, when I talked to him, I was like, okay, I got a little more respect for it, but.
Yeah.
That happens.
All right, let's do our ratings. We do 0 to 5, 5 being the best, 0 being the worst. You can do half points. So we'll do a rating for each segment. Rachel, why don't you start us off?
Sure. So for survivor type, I would probably give this like maybe like 3.5. Would be, I think, you know what I mean? It's not quite a 4, but it's quite, because, you know, there's just not that much there to it, but like it is pretty effective and would an easy recommendation for people who I think are can handle it or who I want to troll a little bit. And then I would probably give Twittering the Circus of the Dead probably like a 3. I think I actually liked it. I thought it was pretty solid. There are some problems with it. Specifically, Jody touched on the continuing to Twitter, and the format is very limiting. But at the end of the day, it's a good little treat. I'd give it a 3.
All right. Ariel.
Oh, boy. I would say for the Survivor one, I agree with Rachel. I think 3.5 is right at it. I don't think it's quite good enough to be higher than that, but I watch so much stuff that's like a 3.5 that I love, so I feel like that is good. But the Twittering at the Circus of the Dead, I think I would give it a 2.5. Just because there was stuff that was like really fun, but I also found myself annoyed. And like the more I think about it, the more I think like it actually makes a little bit of sense that she would keep tweeting, just because if you're like this self-absorbed teenager, you're at that like moment, then maybe she wouldn't notice because she's like so focused on social media and her phone. But I don't know. It was grating. So 2.5. Yeah.
Jody.
Yeah, I think I'm right with Ariel on these. I 3.5 for the first one, and because of the social media part of it, it's 2.5 for the other one. Everything else in it was great, but the social media stuff just killed it for me. Like it if they could have done the same story in a different way, I think I would have liked it better.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's fine. Like, I don't hate it. And the first one I liked.
Yeah. All right. I'm going with a 4 for the Survivor. Mm-hmm. I was just clenched for a lot of that movie for that segment, and for animation to do that. That's, I don't think anything in the animation has ever made me like viscerally, yeah, get that. Like,
I agree. Yeah. Out.
So that gets high marks. My only downside is just kind of the way it ended was very abrupt, but you know. And then for the other one, I'm going to do a 3. Yeah, it was just very grating, but it really ended. You throw a bunch of zombie gore and stuff, even animated, and I'm a happy guy. So, 3 is just kind of, you know, so-so, but more on the positive than the negative side.
Yeah, I really do think my complaints mainly just boil down to, I just don't like the animation style. Like, if it had been animated differently, I probably would have had a whole different opinion about it. Mm-hmm. But it took me out enough from the beginning that it kind of lowered everything by like a half point just from the get-go. Sure. Even though I like both the stories.
Yeah. All right. Well, I just realized Mondo's not here to do Song of the Day. So just based on the titles alone, the first thing that comes to my mind is a song by a trio of women about surviving.
You're just throwing this into Mondo's playlist, right? In the middle of all of his
metal. It's about, you would say it's their destiny. To be a survivor.
Oh my god!
I'm trying to remember what Mondo's suggestion was last week, or his song of the day last week. I feel like it's from a band that's something like Desecration, and then Destiny's Child's the next song on the night.
That's perfect. I just wanted to switch it up a little bit. Some Destiny's Child, Survivor. Yeah. I don't have any, you know, great esoteric stories about them. Sorry to disappoint, but that's that. Jody, you got some horror news for us.
Yeah, let's talk releases first, because a bunch of stuff came out this week. First off, on VOD, premium VOD, the new way of movies coming out from the theaters a month after they premiered, for $20, you can rent Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, just released.
Have you guys seen that one?
I haven't yet. I'm going to watch it with the kids at some point.
I liked it. I liked it more than the last one, believe it or not.
I like the concept because it reminds me of like the real Ghostbusters, like the cartoon. Mm. It's because it would have these like high concept, like there's an ice monster, there's a, you know, a Halloween demon or something like that. So I like the idea.
Yeah, I took my daughter. We had a great time. So I rather enjoyed that for what it was.
Well, if you have another $20 you want to spend on a premium VOD, Abigail just came out.
Oh, I'm excited to see that.
I recommend spending your $20 on that one because I love that movie.
Oh, I'm excited.
I'm getting worried that like it's so soon after. I feel like it was like just a couple weeks ago, which I mean, I don't know how many.
No, I saw it in theaters the day it came out, and I feel like that was like last week.
Yeah,
so and it's already out on VOD.
For a movie that's like supposed to be like as big as that one, I'm starting to get worried.
I think the times are changing, and so
they've done the algorithm. This is how they can extract the most of the American dollar from your pocket.
Right. Yeah,
I don't like change.
The show,
you know, I think this is just where we are now as far as like release schedules and stuff. You know, I remember being a kid and waiting 9 months after a movie was in the theater before it ever came out on video, but I just don't think we're patient enough now. Like, I don't think people would wait 9 months.
I think people forget about it by then.
Yeah, you've either forgotten or you've pirated it or something. Like, people aren't going to wait that long anymore.
I mean, think about it. You only have to do the marketing once. You know what I mean? It's still so fresh in mind. They don't have to do a whole second marketing campaign. Yeah.
No, I mean, I love getting it quicker, but this one just really surprised me. And for a big Universal movie, I was just really caught off guard.
I'm seeing a lot of that lately, though, because we got that one. Ghostbusters just came out recently, too.
No, that was a couple months.
Godzilla and Kong, the New Empire, it's coming out next week. Yeah. That's one of my news things is next Tuesday. The new Godzilla movie is coming out. It was just in theaters because I just saw it with my son, too. So. Either way, fast release schedule lately. More releases, though. The movie Founders Day is now available on digital. It's a slasher, like with a little political bent. I watched it last night. It's not bad. It shows its budget. It's got a little bit of Thanksgivingness to it. Mm. Not quite as gory as I want it to be. Like I liked Thanksgiving sloppiness. There was a lot of mess in that movie, and that's fun. Part of the reason it was fun. So it was a little tamer, but I think it's a decent slasher. I'm pretty forgiving with slashers.
I am too.
You kind of have to be.
I think it's got like a 16% on IMDb, but
that is very low. But yeah, if there are like good kills, I'll forgive a lot with a slasher movie. Rachel will not. It has to be really good for her to like it.
I am very picky about slashers.
Okay, so here's one I think you might like. Okay. That's coming out on VOD or is on VOD right now. It's called Mind, Body, Spirit.
Oh, I've heard good things about this. Yeah, yes.
I saw it at CFF or at Chattanooga Film Fest last year. It's about a person who's trying to become a yoga influencer who moves into a house full of dark secrets and begins to get influenced by these things in her home. So if you like influencers, you like, or if you like seeing influencers go through horrible things, go either way. You don't have to like them.
witchy
stuff, found footage type things. It's really fun. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I love influencer horror. I don't know what it says about me, but living in LA, I just love seeing,
that makes sense. Yeah.
You're just getting your revenge vicariously for all the stuff you have to put up with. People with their phones out everywhere you go, I'm sure. So other news. I'm not sure how I feel about this one yet. So for a while now, we've heard about the Crystal Lake series that A24 is producing. It's gone through some shakeups, and there was a lot of like back and forth information stuff where at one point they said it was canceled. But I think the final thing is they're going a different direction, and Brian Fuller is no longer associated with it, which is disappointing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe it'll still be good. I mean, Brian Fuller being gone is sad, but
yeah,
we don't know what direction it is going, so it's hard. We can't be down on it, but it seemed like it was going a very promising direction, so I'm a little bummed about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm still hopeful. I need more Friday the 13th in my life. They haven't made a new movie since the remake in like 2009 or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. 2006. It's too long. Yeah. Too long with no new Jason. So
I agree.
Anything that'll free him up to do more Hannibal, I'm for it.
Okay, and one last thing. When I was at the theater seeing something, I don't remember if it was last week or the week before, I finally saw a trailer for The Strangers, the new like chapter one, chapter two, chapter three. It looks good. Like it looks really freaky. I like The Strangers. I also equally like The Strangers Pray at Night. And those are like the two opposite sides of like the scary people home invasion type stuff. One is big and flashy and fun, and the other is dark and grim. I like them both. And this feels like maybe it's a little bit of both.
It seemed like a weird, like almost like Psycho, 90s Psycho remake a bit of the first one from based on the trailer. It seemed like very like
that sounds kind of cool.
Paint by numbers a bit. It's Renny Harlin, which is mind-boggling.
Right. Well, I did see like some people have seen it now. Like the first like preview reviews are coming out, and for the most part, people say it's really a lot of fun and gory and bloody and all the things I want from a horror movie. Again, not like the original Strangers. I think a lot of people are going to not like it because it is so far removed from the original Strangers. I have friends in my life. People who I appreciate their opinions, who hate The Strangers Pray at Night because it was so far away from what the original Strangers was.
So much.
I have never seen either of them, so I probably should get on that.
I hadn't watched Strangers until a couple years ago, so I didn't have this like deep attachment to it. I watched it late at night, like 2 a.m, and I don't think I have ever been more like, what's that sound? What's going on? That kind of like tensed, freaked out after a movie than I was after The Strangers. It's very effective. Okay. Strangers Pray at Night's big fun. It's an 80s like slasher type movie.
You know what? Gotcha. As long as at some point, a character is giving a big emotional speech and then a Mako shark out of nowhere appears and eats them, I'll be happy. It's a Renly Harlan Deep Blue Sea connection.
That's right.
How did he do Deep Blue Sea? Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
That is one of my favorite that is my favorite moment in Deep Blue Sea.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty great.
But anyway, the reason I brought up the strangers, I'm talking about it, but it's not even the news item. The news item is that it looks like they might actually make a supercut of all three of those movies to make a 4.5 hour long, like, giant movie. And yeah, I'm down. I'm for it. I don't hate long movies like some people seem to now.
Rachel.
I don't think every movie needs to be as long as it is. Like, Terrifier 2 shouldn't have been 2 hours and, 20 minutes?
No kidding. They needed to cut at least 30 minutes off that movie.
Yeah, some movies don't need to be that long. But, no, if it earns its length,
yes.
I'm fine with it. Like, Dr. Sleep, totally fine with it. Love that movie. It was long. Mm-hmm. Midsommar, long, but I'm fine with it. You have to earn it, though. And so if these movies actually are good, I could see myself watching the big 4.5 hour version of it.
In one sitting or in a theater? Like, that seems insane.
Oh, I'm not going to the theater for that. No,
I double and triple feature at the theater all the time. Like, if I'm going to make the drive, I don't live in a city. I have to drive 40 minutes to get to the damn theater. So I'm not going to do that twice in 1 week if I can just sit there twice back to back.
But then you have a break in between or you can go to the bathroom and get food.
It's
and
a
stuff.
Quick break. Yeah, but yeah. That's true.
If they want to do long movies in the theater, they need to bring back intermission.
Yes. We do need to bring back intermission.
Yes.
I'm for that.
Yeah. I just saw the new Planet of the Apes movie and it's 3 hours long and I could have used an intermission.
Seriously?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And Rachel is like a card carrying member of the It Should Not Be Over 85 Minutes club.
Ooh, 85 minutes. Say it again.
I do love a nice, like, you get in there, it tells its story, and then you move on with your day. Like, I love those movies. But
yeah,
if it earns it, I'm okay with a long one.
Yeah, me too.
So I've seen The New Strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're sitting there trying to hold it all in, aren't you?
I actually think maybe a long cut would be good because it feels like a first act.
Okay.
All right.
And that's always the hard part of any trilogy. If you're making a trilogy and it feels like a trilogy.
Yeah.
It's missing something. I get that.
All right. Mm-hmm. If it's good, blink twice.
Don't do this to me. Don't do this to me. Now I'm like,
clockwork oranging yourself.
Yeah, I can't remember what the embargo is, so I'm like trying not to say too much. But like, I could see it being pushed. Like, there's a lot of things that are set up in it that don't really. Like, sure. They don't really execute on, so, and my understanding from speaking to the cast is that that's where they're going for the next two movies, is exploring those themes that they touch on, that they don't really go there with.
Okay. Right. Jody, are going to bring up the Twisters trailer that came out yesterday.
Yeah, there is a trailer for Twisters, and considering I spent, you know, this entire week, the first tornado warning we had at my house was on Monday, and I was home by myself, so I gathered the cats and the dog and went and sat in the bathroom for 30 minutes with the cats for the whole time. That's the fun of living here. And then last night I stayed up till 3 a.m. waiting for the tornado watch to finish passing. So, yeah.
I'm actually a little surprised they released it with everything that was happening.
There's always tornadoes somewhere around here.
I heard it was bad, though, but... I was like, okay, you.
I mean, I think there was a couple places that got bad, but there's been worse here.
But like, I'm pumped. I love the first Twister movie.
Yeah, no,
the movie
looks big fun.
Yeah. Big dumb fun. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm. I know. I've seen that first Twister movie like 5 or 6 times. I watch it every so often because it's such a fun movie. But
my wife hadn't seen it, so we watched it. Rachel, you're sitting there quiet like you've seen it already.
No, I haven't. That one I haven't seen yet.
Right, Rachel has all these connections. If we're talking about a movie and she's just sitting there silently, I start wondering if she knows something that we don't.
Yeah. Sometimes, but not on this one.
We bring back CGI. What's his name from the first one?
Bill Paxton?
Bill CGI Bill Paxton.
No, that would be heartbreaking.
Oh, man.
As the tornado.
You know what I hope they have in this? I hope they have the tire and the cow that were in the trailer that never showed up in the first movie. They're smart. They will like
give us that cow, damn it.
Give us that tire.
All right. Anything else, Jody?
That's all I got.
All right. I got a would you rather question. And I don't know either Rachel or Ariel your status on this. So I hope this isn't offensive. But would you rather be a vegan?
I'm offended. Or...
Wait, what did you say?
You cut out.
Would you rather be a vegan or a cannibal? You have to choose one.
Oh, be a vegan or a cannibal?
Well, I'm thinking like cannibal, like in Fresh, where they like they make it like into ground meat, or they like make it into steaks, like make it. Not,
but
like,
are just, people
like,
dying, or is this like antiviral, where it's like fake meat?
For the sake of this, let's just say it's ethically okay. I don't know exactly how it works out, but
it's just as far rather, as like it's got to be like free range humans.
Yeah, I'm going vegan. I've never done vegan before. I've done vegetarian for many, many years, so I think I can handle it.
I want to remind you that that means no cheese. This is not as easy a decision as you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
do I have to butcher and like prepare my own meat, or is there someone who is cooking for me?
If it comes packaged like ground beef already, maybe I could just
go to the grocery store and it's like okay, instead of ground beef,
it's like the 100 where it's meat cubes.
I mean, I really like cheese. I don't want to answer.
They
this
make
question.
A lot of vegan cheeses these days, and you can also do like cashews and brewer's yeast, and it tastes pretty good too.
Tell me you ate carob as a child without telling me you
I
ate
did
carob.
Eat carob as a child. That's what you get when you have hippie
bullshit. I'm sorry, humanity. I'm not giving up cheese. I hope you're well marbled and delicious.
Jody?
I think if it was packaged right, I think I would just have to get over it because. Man, being a vegan sounds unpleasant to me.
Wow.
For you.
I'm shocked at how easily you guys are choosing cannibalism.
I'm on the cannibalism train.
Well, and here's the thing.
I like animals more than I like people, and I eat animals.
Yeah. That's the most modern
That's actually
answer.
Fair.
here's the thing, though. Like, with the cannibalism, like, it's not even restricted to you can only eat people, right? Like, I could still, like... I could make bacon and eggs and stuff, but then, you know, just have a little person spam as a side dish or something, you know, compared to no cheese, no milk, no eggs, no meat of any kind. Like, that's too much restriction in my diet.
I am
need to be
I've
free.
I've seen Thanksgiving. That mom looked succulent. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He was basting it well. You know, he knew what he was doing.
Right?
That is true.
All right, Jason, what's your answer?
Join us, Ariel.
Depends on the cannibalism thing.
Yeah, okay.
I love meat, and so I couldn't. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Wait, you're going cannibal too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know how much red meat I eat?
I thought I would have at least one person on my side here.
I'm shocked.
Right, I feel like there's a lesson in this,
Ariel. Don't go on
a
cruise ship with any of us,
Have you guys had any of like the fake meat and fake cheeses these days? They're pretty good. I feel like...
Why would I eat fake cheese? Real cheese exists.
Well, I'm lactose intolerant, so I eat it.
When my kids were little, they had some stomach stuff, so we did the fake cheese.
Yeah.
Maybe it's gotten better in the last 10 years, but 10 years ago is nasty.
Okay, here's the thing also, though. If you give up something, like give yourself a couple years and you forget what it tastes like, and then the fake stuff tastes a lot better. A
couple of years of no cheese is really
I will never forget what cheese tastes like. Cheese is the base of my food pyramid.
So,
cheese is where
Rachel's
of my
like,
serotonin
I have to be
from.
Able to make my charcuterie boards. I'm sorry, even if that
Thank
meat
you.
Is human meat,
You've
I have
seen
to do it.
My charcuterie
What if
board.
The cheese is also human cheese? Like, what if I have to give up all meat and all cheese, then you have to go all human for everything?
All,
so all
human
your
cheese?
Meat is human. Yeah. All like
yeah, that's
it's
like yeah,
breast
no
milk cheese. That's all you get.
Yeah, give me some titty birdie.
You're still
I don't care. Listen, I got news for you, girl. You've had breast milk before. Like, now it's cheese. NBD.
It's amazing.
If you process food enough, it doesn't resemble how it started, and it's fine.
I mean, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So I went to school in Eugene, Oregon, which is a well-known, like, hippie city. Yes. You know, we got Eugene. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was a freshman in college. I went to, like, some event, and it was all vegan. So I'm like, okay. And I tried some vegan cheese.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not good. And then I proceeded to vomit the whole night. Like, it's so hard. You ever vomit so hard you burst a blood vessel in your eye?
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's how hard I vomited. So that's the last time I ever had vegan cheese.
My family still talks about how we were on vacation one time. And at the time we were doing like dairy free for one kid, and one kid couldn't eat sugar, and one kid couldn't eat gluten. So we had this mac and cheese that everything in it was not regular. Like, there was no wheat, there was no cheese, and it was called mac and trees. And it was terrible. It was the worst thing we've ever eaten. We still talk about it.
Sounds like you were chewing on a Teva sandal.
It's like cardboard macaroni. Terrible, bad cheese.
Like, the Beyond Meat crumble isn't bad. If you put like enough seasoning and stuff on it, the texture is fine. Like, if you want to make tacos or something.
Yeah. It's just gluten. You know, it's fine.
Yeah. So, like,
Veggie Grill is good. They do like burgers and mac and cheese and pies and everything, and it's all vegan.
I'm not opposed to like vegetarian or vegan things. Like, I'll eat a salad and without cheese, I won't die. But like, if I can, we're talking about a life. Like, as my life stretches out before me, I don't want it to be cheese free. I want it to be cheese full.
There we go. Wow, I'm really impressed though. While we went off on this one,
am I?
You're all despicable humans.
Thank you. Thank you.
Honestly, your judgment just is like a delicious marinade. The more you judge us, the more delicious you get.
My wife and I have just started watching The Great British Bake Off like a couple months ago, because we'd never watched it. And so we're going back now and watching like old seasons. And there was a vegan night, and every meal that they made, I was like, I mean, it's probably good. It just looked disappointing to me.
I feel like that'd be better with a little Parmesan on it.
It would be.
Or a steak. Or some ribs. You know. Mm-hmm.
It's vegan except for the ribs.
Yeah.
It's sorry, close. Ariel.
Sorry.
You look genuinely disturbed.
It's just such an easy pick. I don't understand what's happening.
Like a shower.
I agree, it's an easy pick. We are in alignment on that part.
I just feel like Ariel's listening to this conversation and knowing people she does not want to travel with now in case something was to happen along the way.
Yeah, I'm not going over the Alps with any of you fools.
Yeah, no going on a boat.
I wasn't going to invite you. So.
Don't go on a boat delivering heroin or anything. Like,
God, no.
Yeah, like if we ever do get stranded together and you see us huddled up, like whispering, run.
We're all whispering.
Been eating vegan cheese, maybe I'll taste bad and you'll need to eat somebody else.
I'm a tasty person with that diet.
Yeah. I mean, I can't have almonds. If you're like too infused with almonds,
I'm eating nothing but almonds. Every day, almonds from now on. Almonds and mangoes. That's going to be my diet.
Well, that's
my gift. Just to thwart Rachel.
Yeah.
You could eat mangoes nonstop.
Me too.
I eat mangoes all the time, and I do not like them.
Oh, really? They're so good.
I love mangoes.
I wait for mango season every year, and like, I'm slightly allergic, and they make my mouth hurt, but I eat them anyways.
We got like Thai food, and all my kids eat is the mango sticky rice.
Pineapple rice. That's the move. Mm. Especially when it comes like in a pineapple, then you're like, I'm in the islands. No, I'm not. I'm in the suburbs of Oakland. Yeah. But in my heart, I'm in the islands.
All right. Well, that wraps up another episode. Ariel and Rachel, thank you so much for coming on. We always appreciate having you.
Oh, thank you for inviting us. And like, I can't, every time it happens, I'm like, really?
But thank you. This is a lot of fun.
I want to tell everyone where they can follow more about the Zombie Girls.
Yeah. So anywhere you get your podcast, search for Zombie Girls, spelled GRRLZ. Rachel and I do a podcast all about women identified horror directors, and that is More Deadly. So you can search that one too. You can find us any social media platform at ZG Podcasts.
Rachel, any socials you want to throw out there?
Sure. Obviously, you can find me on all of those, but if you want to stalk me personally, I'm at RachiePants on all the platforms.
Awesome. Well, next week, we are going to be reviewing the second Creep Show special, which is a holiday theme, mostly Christmas from what I can see, called Shapeshifters Anonymous. We appreciate everyone for listening. We would really appreciate if you would give us a rating and review on iTunes, a rating on Spotify, a like and subscribe on YouTube, and follow us at Dads from the Crypt Talk on the TikTok. With that, we thank you for listening to Dads from the Crypt.
Follow Dads from the Crypt on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or I will follow you to the grave. No, seriously, you really should watch, but be careful what you axe for. You may get it.